It's time for Hoag Health Radio. Here's your host, Deborah Howell.
Welcome to the program. Thank you so much for being here. It's always a pleasure. On today's show, we have a wonderful guest. She is Cordula Dick Muehlke, PhD. She's the director of the Alzheimer's Family Services Center and a member of the Department of Community Medicine at Hoag Hospital. We'll be talking about early diagnosis of Alzheimer's and related conditions involving dementia. Welcome, Dr. Dick Muehlke.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Now let's dive right in, shall we? Tell us some of the early signs of Alzheimer's that might cause us to wonder about some of our loved ones.
Well, you know, it is normal for all of us as we age to experience some cognitive changes. We're all going to have a little more difficulty recalling names. Mm-hmm. We're all going to be a little bit more susceptible to distraction. We're going to have to take a little more effort to learn new information. Mm-hmm. But there's some warning signs that we want to pay attention to that, you know, are above that threshold of what we consider normal as we grow older. Some of those things might be if the person's forgetting important dates or events. They're asking the same information over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe having difficulty following a recipe or developing a plan, keeping track of monthly bills. We all have a little difficulty balancing a checkbook, but if we have difficulty keeping track of bills, that's more significant.
What do you mean by keeping track of bills?
Well,
just forgetting to pay them?
Yes, forgetting to pay them, paying them multiple times, perhaps,
because
you've forgotten that you've already paid them.
Aha.
Yeah, you might also see the person getting lost, driving to a familiar place.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps they've gone to the same grocery store for the last 10 years, and they're having difficulty getting there, or might have driven off and gotten disoriented.
Okay.
Those are just a few of the signs. There's certainly many more.
I was going to ask you, you know, it is tricky because forgetfulness is something you can see at any age. I don't think my 12-year-old has ever remembered his backpack without a reminder. So I was wondering what differentiates the forgetfulness of, say, a 12-year-old who might be merely just distracted to the forgetfulness of someone in the early stages of Alzheimer's.
Well, it's really difficult for a layperson to make that differentiation. That's why it's so important, if you're concerned about a loved one who's showing some forgetfulness,
mm-hmm.
To actually have them go in and be evaluated, to draw that to the attention of the doctor, and to get to a neurologist who can make that determination. But certainly, all of us are going to have a little bit of forgetfulness, but if we totally blank out on appointments and this is happening over and over again,
mm-hmm.
that's more than normal. But again, the important thing is don't try to make that determination yourself. If you're concerned, if it seems different than the person's normal functioning level, then you want to draw that to the attention of the doctor, because a lot of things could be going on. One of the most common causes of confusion in the elderly is medication side effects. So, you know, there might need to be a medication adjustment. We can't always assume that mm-hmm. it's going to be Alzheimer's disease or a dementia that's causing that problem. So it could be something simple that the doctor can take care of.
Okay, sounds good. Now, that leads me to the next question. What is the difference between dementia and Alzheimer's and memory loss?
Well, that's one of the most confusing things out there, and such a common question, because people ask, is dementia and Alzheimer's the same thing? Dementia is actually a syndrome that includes three primary characteristics or symptoms,
mm-hmm.
and there are many causes of dementia. Alzheimer's is the most common. So the syndrome of dementia includes, number one, loss of intellectual ability. Number two, it affects your memory, plus one or more other cognitive abilities, such as language, reasoning, judgment. And number three, the impairment is so severe that it interferes with your everyday life, your social activities. But Alzheimer's disease is the number one cause of dementia.
Understandable. Okay. Now, what is the importance of detecting these early signs of either dementia or Alzheimer's?
Well, it's very critical to detect Alzheimer's disease early, because While the treatments we have available today are limited, they are most effective when they are started early. Also, we want to start getting the person and the family involved in the services that are available, early stage support groups. We want them to be able to plan for what's ahead. You know, when a person with dementia is identified later in the disease, they're not able to be involved in their own planning. That's mm-hmm. very important.
Right.
So there's a number of reasons we want to identify. Also, very important is sometimes families are confused. What's going on? Oh, Dad's just being obstinate. You know, he's doing it on purpose. And they don't realize it's actually a dementia and that the person no longer perhaps can remember or can do things that they used to. And so we want to help families understand what that person's abilities are.
That brings up another point, and I also want to get into the evaluation, how you evaluate a person, some of the tests that you do. But first of all, personality changes are a big part of this, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And that's another early sign that I didn't bring up earlier. But something you can see very early are suspiciousness, withdrawal, isolation. In fact, sometimes it looks like the person may be depressed, mm-hmm. and actually that's could be a very early indicator of dementia. Later on, as the disease progresses, we can see more personality changes, you know, where the person is becoming agitated, anxious, sometimes aggressive. But in the early stages, it's primarily suspiciousness and withdrawal.
Okay, very good. Now, you've dedicated your career to bettering the lives of people with Alzheimer's disease and their families. Are we much further along when it comes to treatments and drugs for people than we were when you began your medical career?
Yes. Well, certainly when I began, we had nothing but humane care for people with dementia. We cared for them in settings like Alzheimer's Family Services Center and provided activities and socialization. But now we do have some drugs that are available that can help to boost the person's functioning. So that definitely is an advance from where we were at 25 years ago, mm-hmm. but we certainly do not have a cure yet. What's very hopeful is that there are, however, so many clinical trials going on and such a pursuit of other treatments and interventions that can help to alleviate some of the symptoms and perhaps slow the progression of the disease.
Maybe you could get into some of those treatments.
Well, the treatments that are currently available, they are called, one class of medications are called the acetylcholinesterase inhibitors, mm-hmm. and those are Aricept, Exelon, and Razadyne. And those drugs, Aricept is for the early through the severe stages. Razadyne and Exelon are specifically for the early stages, and it is important to start those drugs early. We have one other drug called Namenda, mm-hmm. Which is for the moderate to severe stages and can be very helpful when combined with one of the drugs I just mentioned in terms of, again, boosting that person's functioning over what they would be without a medication.
Okay.
But equally important, the research is showing, is involvement in cognitive activities, that
right.
when we combine one of these medications with cognitive activities, the person actually does better than just being on the drug alone. So these combined interventions are most helpful.
And I just visited my parents, and they live in a retirement community where they have machines all over the place that, you know, they're like brain teasers, only they're very advanced, and they're designed to help, you know, prolong any indication of Alzheimer's. And those people are on those machines all day and all night, and they're very sharp cookies.
Yeah, actually, we know one of the greatest areas of progress actually in this disease has been identifying those kinds of activities that could reduce our risk for Alzheimer's disease. And one of those is mental activity, staying mentally active and challenging yourself cognitively. And that could be through a computer-based program.
Mm-hmm.
That could be by learning something new that you've never done before, like playing the piano. But challenging yourself cognitively and doing that on a regular basis is very important to reducing your risk for Alzheimer's disease.
And what about physically?
Yes, physical exercise is another important strategy that actually we're showing in the research can help reduce your risk for Alzheimer's disease. And now some of the latest research is showing that even with people who already have Alzheimer's disease, that exercise can be beneficial in slowing the progression of the disease.
Thank you so much, Dr. Dick
Mielke.
It's been such a pleasure having you. I know it's crazy how fast this segment went, but we are out of time. So we'll be back. Please stay with us. I'm Deborah Howell for Hoag Hospital in Newport Beach. There's much, much more to come, including a discussion about caregiver stress. Should be very interesting. Please join us.